I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Please don't go to Dublin in the middle of May if Liverpool if Liverpool gets that final. I urge you all to stay away.
The biggest party you'll ever have.
You've had teams that have just had a relatively easy run.
You're talking about Liverpool in the late 70s, early 80s, aren't you, Joe?
If you, 2005.
Easy run.
Tony or Watkins, which one goes to the Euros in the summer?
Ah, Tony.
No.
The minute we stop talking about these types of stories and we're talking about a franchise league, we're dead.
Oh, behave, Clive.
Oh, here we go.
City and Liverpool are together again.
Oh, why? God, honestly.
Jamie Carragher would get into the current Liverpool squad. I was going to say team. Welcome to a new episode of The Fan Debate, brought to you by Skybet, and we're going to be getting questions off the audience, yeah? And we're going to start with you, Luke.
Here I am.
It was like a no-look pass. It was like a no-look pass, like Kobe Mainu. You know what I mean? He looks at one person. Right, come on, Luke.
Well, this is a good one, right? If Southgate has to pick between Tony or Watkins, which one goes to the Euros in the summer?
Ah, oh, Tony.
No.
Yes. Yeah, watching Tony. Amongst those, what would be, I'd call them sort of floating brilliant players like Foden and Bellingham and Mainu. I have to say, I thought him up front holding his position, he's wise, he looked calm, he was controlled. I thought that was really good from Tony.
Do you not feel like, though, with that... Okay, we all know Kane's going to play. So maybe the third game in the group, once that's won, we're going to play a different striker, maybe. I just think with Watkins, that when I was watching that game against Belgium, that when it was getting towards the end, Watkins came on and he was pressing and he just offers something totally different.
That's an interesting point, because I always think when you... Harry Kane's our centre-forward, and if he's injured or missing a game, do you want something different, or do you want someone to replicate what he brings to the team? And that is a completely different argument, because I do think Watkins is completely different. And I think Tony is more like Kane, where he comes to the ball, he brings people into play. So, I mean, is there a case not that both of them...
I think he said a couple of weeks ago, didn't he, that depending on what he picks, he might have to pick two or he might pick one. But I think he'll pick Tony. And I also think he'll use Rashford and think that can be his third striker as well. But for me as a Villa fan, obviously I'm going to back Watkins. And it's like, he's got 16 goals this season, 10 assists, 26 goal involvements, the highest in the whole Premier League. The void has been left with Kane. Watkins has filled it. Surely he has to go.
We should have said Watkins and moved on, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, let's
Ollie Watkins. Move on. You've convinced me.
We will move on. We're now going to Finlay, the Villa fan.
Do you think that if Luton stay up because of points deductions for other clubs, that we'd still deserve it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you?
Of course. Well, I'd love to stay up for any reason at all, but I think we've been a brilliant addition to the Premier League. So I think we've gone for it in every game we've played, especially against the big six at home as well. Any game at Kenilworth Road, we've gone for it. Whether that's worked or not, we might not have got the points in a lot of them.
You know, you remind me of a little bit. Remember Blackpool a few years ago, where they actually went
down? I thought
you'd
say Luke then.
No. Blackpool, yeah. I thought, were brilliant in the Premier League, and they just went down. I actually think yous will just go down. That's my honest opinion. But I do think yous have been a breath of fresh air. You know, the games, the comebacks, even the big teams you've played against have always been... in a game, so I think you've been brilliant. I would actually like you to stay up, but I think they might just miss out.
I hope you stay up, not because I want Forest or anyone else to go down, but I don't think any of us recognise how important Luton being in the Premier League, Blackpool being in the Premier League, Wimbledon all those years ago, is to the pyramid. Honestly, the minute we stop talking about these types of stories and we're talking about a franchise league where basically the same three that go down come up every single year, we're dead. We don't know it yet, but we are.
I agree.
And the idea that this club that's got a £5-6 million budget in the Championship against budgets that have got 30, 40 million because they've had parachute payments, is the magic of, not, you know, it's about the magic of the FA Cup, the magic of the pyramid system in this country is that every team, whether it be Grimsby or whether it be Luton, should think they can play in the Premier League. The minute we lose that feeling that every club cannot get promoted and a local town can't have a wealthy benefactor that can put some money in, that can manage them well from a football perspective, honestly, we lose so much. That is the huge thing about our league and why it's competitive and why we think of it as being great. We walk through the terraced houses to get to the away fans' entrance. Them stories have to remain, or else we're dead.
Well, we move on now to Gregor Forrest, the team Gary wants to go down if Luton stay up.
Given where we are now, if the Big Six had have gone into a European Super League, would it have made the Premier League a fairer and more balanced league?
So well, the other 14 creating a league.
Yeah. Well,
no, sorry. The one thing I would say in the teams, they weren't actually leaving our league. They were going, setting up their own Champions League on their own, where they basically weren't allowing any other Premier League team to come into it by force. So, but their proposal did say they would stay in the Premier League and compete. But what they wanted to do was try and make the Premier League, the new Super League weekend matches. They wanted to disrupt the whole domestic game in every country in Europe to suit the top 12, 14 clubs in Europe. They didn't actually say they were going to leave their own league. So I think we just need to...
I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous that, because the whole reason this was set up was mainly from, I think, the Spanish giants and Juventus, was because the Premier League is so good. The Premier League is the Super League in a lot of ways, with the money that it generates, you know, eyes all over the world. And for our clubs to sort of almost panic and think, oh, we're going to miss out on something and jump in, I just thought was awful at the time. But you're asking us, would you prefer that? A lot of time we talk about the top six and we talk about the other 14. Would the other 14 clubs prefer that?
Where I am now, after what's happened the last season and a half, the first season and a half being in it, the top six aren't the games that I'm excited about. That's not where the enjoyment comes from. The enjoyment comes from the battle with everyone else. You know, they've got their own mini league already almost. You know, they just get the pick of all the top players and then it's the rest of us. So the way I see it, you look at like a Bundesliga or somewhere like that where it seems a little bit more like things could happen. I'm starting to get...
The league 10 years in the run.
I couldn't be any more critical of the six clubs that we're going for the Super League. I couldn't be any more critical of them and continue to be so. But what I will say about the Big Six, as much as I've criticised them, I think we need them badly. Mm. Let's be really clear here. The reason that your club, my club, and we all... The reason the game's so popular around the world is because of three or four of those top six clubs. And we do need them. Because the best thing about our league is when a Nottingham Forest beats a Liverpool or a Manchester United or a City on their own ground. That is what we all dream of in terms of a league. We want a league where the bottom can beat the top. So I don't think we can live without the top six. The idea of that league to me wouldn't be right. It would be a far inferior league.
There's one thing I want to pick up that I've seen a lot on social media about sort of the top six and the other 14 and you know, obviously Everton, Forest, the situations you find themselves in. But I know that they've got fancy names now, FFP, PSR, but has that not always happened? Yeah. That way. You're shaking your head. Everton bought Tony Cotty from West Ham.
The gap now between the six who play in Europe, and particularly the clubs who play in Europe every year, and the other 14, is just going to get bigger and bigger. So you are just going to have...
But the biggest clubs of all was Liverpool bought Stan Collymore from Forest. How long ago was that? 20 years ago?
The most startling financial statistic
that I've ever heard is that when the Premier League was set up, the difference in revenues for TV money between the Premier League and the Championship was something like £30 million or £40 million. Rick Parry gave me this number. It's now £4.5 billion or £9.5 billion. It's £9 billion or something stupid in terms of domestic and international rights. So when the Premier League was set up, it wasn't set up with this idea that there was going to be this massive big gap in revenues between... The Championship was always going to be a very competitive league that would sit just behind the Premier League. What's happened is the Premier League has done a great job and gone there, but the EFL have gone here. And what you've got now is this £4, 5, 6, 7 billion gap in revenue between the clubs, between the leagues. You had, I think it was 40-odd million. It was such a low number. That is stark, that. It wasn't designed this way.
No, but that's the, as you just said, that's the success story of the Premier League, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's 3% of promoted teams survive more than 10 years in the Premier League. And that's why it doesn't work for me.
Premier League doesn't
But that's play. Why the regulator needs... I think that's why the regulator comes, because we're in danger of going to the point whereby we end up with the same 20 clubs every year, barring the fact that three go up, three go down.
Aren't you two not worried, because you both two clubs, you well, half a club, and the club that you follow in the Premier League are in there, so you're in the party, aren't you, so to speak, so you can look at everyone else and go, I'll stop.
No, but I'd like to think that my club would see themselves as a guardian of the pyramid. I'd like to see my club to see themselves as almost...
Sorry, I'm just talking about like the a Premier grandfather. League, Gary, not the... Yeah, absolutely, for the and all of this, the Premier League won't give the EFL a proper deal. That's nonsense to me.
Exactly.
A disgrace. But I just mean within the Premier League, because when we're saying it'd be a better league without six clubs, what we're actually saying is all of our finance would be roughly the same and we'll be back to how it was 90s, 80s, early 2000s. But Abramovich changed the way it happened, didn't it, in like 2004.
I understand what you're saying, but why don't we just rein them in a little bit, bring them
back? Yeah, what you said the other
close
week.
Close the gap.
Yeah, what you and said the other week.
There has been movement within that top. I mean, I grew up watching Spurs late 90s, early 2000s. We weren't finishing top six. We finished top six, seven. First time we got into Europe was kind of Martin Jol.
But the last 10 years, though, have been incredible. Even the disparity between it. If you go and look at even prize money and places, the disparity.
Right, let's get to Clive. Clive, you've got a question for us.
Yeah, not such a heavyweight question, right? So it's really about perception. So Liverpool get a last-minute winner versus Forest. Man United get a last-minute winner versus Liverpool in the Cup. Both teams quite rightly celebrated. Why is it when Arsenal get a late winner against the likes of Liverpool and Luton that we are framed as over-celebrating?
A late winner against Liverpool?
Liverpool and who? No, it's a photography thing with Odegaard.
But it wasn't a late winner, was it?
It's quite late, the last 5 minutes, Trossard.
You were 2-1 up. You won 3-1, didn't you?
But 3-1 was the moment of joy.
I've had a laugh about that, and Odegaard was brilliant, I think, on I don't know if you saw the interview on Monday Night Football a few weeks later, and we had a joke about it, and I've saw the photographer a couple of times as well, so I think whenever that happens, obviously social media goes mad and everyone gets tribal, tribalism, and I get all that, but I think it's good that we can, you have a laugh about it a few weeks later. I did think it was a little bit over the top, the older guy, not the celebrating of Arteta down the line and all, that's like in the moment. I just thought that thing of like the camera and the photography, it reminded me of something you do at the end of a cup final where you've won the cup and everyone's just, John Bailey's got a stupid hat on, someone's got the kit man on his shoulders, I get all that. It just it's a league game that you've won. Get down the tunnel.
Clive, the thing for me is... the way in which I would look at it is similar to, let's say, for instance, you've equalised in the last minute in a game. If Manchester City equalise in the last minute of a game, I'll forget Manchester City. If Manchester United, going back 20 years, equalised in the last minute of a game, we wouldn't celebrate. We'd go and get the ball and get back to the halfway line. Mm-hmm. If we then won a game in the last minute, we'd celebrate and go crazy, and that happened. But then at the end of the game, we would say control because the job's not done. So there's that element of, are you in control of your emotions? Is it actually, to be fair... And it's a feeling sometimes in a stadium. I, to be fair, this season, haven't had a problem with Arsenal celebrations, to be fair. I didn't have a problem with that day. I thought it was a big win against Liverpool. I had an issue last year, if you remember, where I felt as though there was a lack of emotional control before the run-in.
Did you have a problem with it after the game?
Last season?
Where
you beat Bournemouth, I think, with about 12 games to go, and Bournemouth were in the bottom three. And it was almost as if, like, it was almost like you were sort of lifting the trophy. And I felt that feeling of, like, that emotional control was sort of lost a little bit. So for me, I think young players as well, which you had quite a lot of young players, they don't need... So in your life, you don't need that and that. What you need really is more of this, right? If you get that, sometimes that drains you like crazy.
What you need... I prefer that with you and just...
But when you're going for a league, honestly, when you're going for a league, you just need that balance. And this year, I think Arsenal have got the balance just right. What Klopp's got is the ability to be able to celebrate at the end of a match by punching the crowd, because he's experienced, he's a winner, and he's still in control. Because he's in control. Whereas Arteta and Arsenal sometimes demonstrate that they're a little bit maybe on the edge of control, and it's a little bit sort of like wild. And I don't think it's been too bad this season, but last season I felt that I could see that massive wobble at the end. It was so obvious to me it was going to come. That the emotional energy that you were consuming was huge. And this season, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
I hear what you're saying. Let me give you another scenario, right? So I think you're missing why there's a lot of celebrating. You go to the Emirates, been going for years. The atmosphere's changed there, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it has, yeah.
It's completely changed.
Yeah.
The connection between the players and the club has completely changed. What your experience in this season with Ange at the start of the season, you haven't had that for a few years, have you? You can't put a put a feeling on it, you feel about watching your team. And this team is world-liked by the supporters. So that's why there's that to and fro between us. And I get your points about last year, and it was the first time we've gone through this. This year, we're a little bit cooler.
You are calmer, you are.
A little bit cooler. So I just wanted to understand our outward perception and explain as to why these things may be happening.
Ollie, give us your question.
Simple one, I guess. What represents success or failure for City this season?
You always have to say that if you don't win the Premier League title, I would say that would be deemed, and if you ask Pep Guardiola, he would say that that isn't success because that's where you're measured by. He would say that. You could win the Champions League and recover it, but I think if you didn't win the Premier League, there'd still be that little bit like a punch in the ribs.
I think if you win one of the big ones, that's success. I think if you start at the start of a season, you win the Premier League or the Champions League. I just
FA Cup not come into that then?
I think if City just won the FA Cup on its own.
Don't worry about that.
I think if you won the FA Cup, just the FA Cup, I don't think it...
Could you call it a failure? Maybe you wouldn't say it was a roaring success, but could you say that, you know, you've won a major competition in England, it's a failure?
It depends maybe how you... Listen, if you lost in the final of the Champions League and you lose unlucky or something, you know... I think the standards of City are high. It's not having a go with City. You've raised the bar that high. You've won the treble. Yeah. If you come back the season after and just won the FA Cup,
that's the problem.
I think that would feel like failure. But I think if you won one of the big ones, that's always success.
The boss would say, win a trophy every season and you're okay. So I agree with you. In principle, winning an FA Cup and keeping the trophy sort of winning period going is success. But because of the standards you've set with treble, and with everything, all the trophies that Pep's won, you don't win the league or the Champions League. I think that everyone will deem that as being a poor season for City with the standards that you've set.
Yeah,
we won the league the year after we won the Champions. We won the treble. We won the league. We actually felt a bit. I've said this to you before. We felt low. We felt like, and that's we won the league. Mm. And you'll feel the same this season if you win the league.
Well, I won't, not as a City fan. If we win the Premier League, I'll be buzzing.
No, but you won't celebrate in the same way as you did for your first one. It becomes to the point whereby it just becomes a little bit more sort of like, almost like it's mundane. It's like, oh, this is what we do. You know what I mean? You almost need to lose it to win it again.
Well, the thing is for us this season, though, with the Premier League, is we've got the added, I guess, motivation of being the first team to win
four in a row. Yeah.
So I think that actually, if we just won the Premier League, I don't think City would have that same feeling that you guys did of, all right, well, you know, it's on to the next one. I think that will be, we've set yet another record. We've made another piece of history.
Liv.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
West Ham, what have you got for us?
The roller coaster of David Moyes football. Should West Ham stick or twist?
Stick.
I'd say stick.
Why do you reckon?
I think stick because I don't see any other manager coming in and getting us higher in the table or doing better in Europe. But actually, from David Moyes' point of view, I think I said this on Monday Night Football that it might actually be better for him just to sort of I've done me West Ham thing. I've done amazing. Don't stay there that season where... Because next season could be like last season was where you finish 12th, 14th or whatever. And he probably would go on the back of that. And I just think for David Moyes, if he could get to like another semi-final in Europe, cement that position in 7th or 8th, that'd be a brilliant way to go out. I wouldn't want to see him get criticised next season and there'd be a negativity in the stadium on the back of the job that he's done.
I agree.
Jay?
If you could pick one player from Liverpool's squad to be in this United squad, who would it be? And vice versa for you, Jamie, who would you take from United?
I would take Van Dijk.
Really?
I think I'd probably take the young kid, Maino.
Why would you take Van Dijk?
I've not got...
Even over someone like Salah, for example?
I just think that Van Dijk would bring a dominance to the team and a presence in the team that we haven't got. Mm. You know, we haven't got a forward as good as Mo Salah, but we've got talented forwards. I always think if you've got a spine of strength and presence, we always say, don't we, oh, there's no Roy Keane's anymore, there's no Vincent Kompany's anymore, there's no John Terry's anymore. There actually is one now at Liverpool, and you think about how he's performed this season in Van Dijk. He is a massive presence on that pitch. He's not the same character as maybe some of those that I've mentioned, but he actually is quite dominant on the pitch, and he does actually speak a lot more than maybe people think, and he is actually someone who you can see there's got an aura about him. And I think that if you want to change Manchester United's complete and utter culture, they need that dominant person that holds them together. And I think that Van Dijk has got the... I think Van Dijk would control Maino. He'd even someone like Antony or Rashford. I think he would build them, not break them. Do you know what I mean?
I saw it on the FA Cup game. I noticed a lot. He was talking a lot, Van Dijk.
He does.
I think, was it? He was having to go to the fullback at one point, going mad at him. And then,
are you disappointed that? Because when you actually think about it, you've got a centre back there in Varane. He was a World Cup winner, multiple Champions League winner. Why has he not become that for you?
I think there's a multitude of reasons. Like his injury record hasn't been as good for us as it was at Madrid. He's missed a lot of games. He's been rotated a lot.
Have you ever felt he's that
big? He's had some good performances. He has, and you can see why he won so many trophies at Madrid. I just don't think he's been able to fully get going. Like, if you're constantly changing, your partner's constantly changing in your centre-back, the midfield in front of you is constantly changing, the goalkeeper's changed. It doesn't help if you're not getting that run. You've seen it at other clubs as well, and I think when Martinez and Varane were together... I don't think he'll ever be that player.
I think for Varane, for me, when I watch Varane, Varane actually defends his part of the pitch very well. And actually, when he actually he defends his box very well, and he heads a lot of balls out that you think, well, he has actually quite dominant in the air. I think he's just that type of centre-half that will always do. And to be fair, maybe he was at Madrid when he was playing alongside Ramos. I think he's always that player that will do his own job really well, but I don't think he'll ever probably impact the other defenders around him. And that's not a criticism, by the way.
No, I hear that.
Because to be fair, I think there are many great centre-halves who are centre-halves that do their own job really well, but they don't actually manage a back four. A great centre-half that can manage a back four is your Van Dijks, your Terrys, your great players of all time type people. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's just that good player, that good centre-half, great centre-half that does his own job really well, I think.
Why Maino? Hang on a minute. Why Maino?
Maino is age, number one. I think he looks like a superstar. He could go on to be a real superstar. I'm trying to think who else in the United team is sort of better than Liverpool player in their position, really.
Better, but don't you think that like Klopp could get a performance out of the likes of Rashford? I just feel like Rashford under Klopp would have been... I mean, I know Klopp's
Maybe Rashford, because I mean, I actually think Liverpool in the summer, I'd be really interested. Obviously, we've got a new manager, but would that be a position you'd look at? Wide left, because I'm still like, I think Diaz is good. I don't think he's great. No. So that could be a position. But I think with Maino, with central midfield, I'd go with him just with the age
quickly
factor.
Who would you take from Liverpool and who would you think someone should choose from us?
I'd take Salah. I just think on the right-hand side of a front three, I love Garnacho and he's done well, but I think look at Salah's record, it's just ridiculous and the type of goals he scores. And I'm with you on Maino. I think Maino could go straight into that Liverpool team and I think he'd improve it. Yeah. I do.
It's interesting that neither of you picked Bruno Fernandes, who's the captain and got the most unbelievable play in the last 3 years, all the assists and goals. But anyway, Tottenham, Alex.
Can Ange's style win the biggest competitions? If he gets the players in, he has his windows and he has the right players that he wants during those windows, ultimately, can that style of football that he plays win the biggest honours?
I mean, I think when Pep Guardiola first came in, probably you more than me, because you know you'd been used to winning titles. You said you'd never sort of seen a team like that win the league how they played. Now
it was the diminutive nature of the players as well that Pep had at that time, not now, but then.
But what people forget about Pep's football is teams are always the best defensively, or certainly one of the best. My worry is that how many goals you just concede. That has to change. So people talk about Pep's football, and we always talk about it with the ball, but off the ball are fantastic as well. So that'd have to be a big shift, I think, if Tottenham were ever going to win. Or be all challenged for the biggest trophies under Postecoglou.
I would say yes, because I don't think you can win the league anymore with a, they call it a low block, a deep line defence and counter-attack. I don't think, there's only Leicester, I think, maybe Leeds going back in the day were a bit like, but they played great football, Leeds as well.
Conte?
You know, but did he really play consistently on a low block against all? I think to me that style of play will I think you'll struggle to win the league nowadays. You have to dominate possession in the attacking half of the pitch, I think.
Baz, what have you got for us?
Matt, keeping away from Everton. So, what would represent success, do you think, for England at the Euros? Obviously, winning, it's great, but what would you... Or did he have to win?
I think in terms of the manager, I almost feel like there's a feeling now that if he didn't win, it'd be seen like he's cost us the tournament. Yeah. I do feel like there's a real negativity getting built around Gareth Southgate, and I think he's done a really good job with England. But I think there's this feeling that we should be going there and winning and getting to at least the final. You know, so I think you'd have to get to the final for it to be seen as a success.
Because there's a stat, isn't it? They've only won four games in the last 25 against teams ranked in the top 10. So obviously to win the Euros.
I saw that stat, and it doesn't look great. But then I seen someone in the paper yesterday do the stat of all the 10 teams against each other.
Yeah.
And there's only France's that is actually
measurable.
That good. I think they win like 60% of the games. I saw that. But most teams are around 30, 40% of... Right.
I was thinking the tournament's two things. How far you go, obviously, but it's who you get knocked out by.
Yeah.
People can... I think in the Qatar, I accepted the way in which we played. It was disappointing, but I accepted the way in which we played against that France team that I thought you could lose that game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's just the way football is, because there's two really good teams. So for me, it would be who we got beat by. Obviously, we'd have to get to a minimum, I think, of quarter semis. Mm. But probably
it's got to be more than quarters.
No. If we played... I don't know if we can play France in the quarter. I've not looked at it properly yet. But let's say we got knocked by France in the quarter, you'd be saying, I can understand that. I agree. Semi's probably the minimum you can get to. And if it's France and it's an absolute umdinger of a game and you lose it on penalties, are you going to sit there and say, that's really a nightmare? I wouldn't be feeling that way, I don't think.
Mm. Last question for you, Babby.
What class is a successful final season for Klopp?
What is success?
Yeah, like what would be success this season?
Winning the Carabao Cup.
I think if Liverpool don't win...
I'll take that.
No, you wouldn't, Abby.
I'll take it with Klopp leaving. I'd still be like off sound, but it's not exactly success for him, is it?
I think the league is utopia. I still see City as the favourites. I think most Liverpool fans, as I said, the league is like just this dream, if you like. I think we all expect to win the Europa League because of the teams that are in it, and the fact it's in Dublin, there's this feeling that Klopp's last game could be this big party we could all have and celebrate him his last game. So I think if Liverpool won the Europa League, if someone said to me now, you're going to win the Europa League, Klopp's last game at Dublin, you miss out on the league, you're one of the other two, I'd probably shake on it now, because I still feel as if the league's almost like this dream, and I still feel like City's just got the edge. But I think it'd be a great season, considering what we all felt at the start of the season. Because I don't think anyone ever... But I thought Liverpool would be in a fight for top four at the start of the season.
Say, like, if you'd have asked me at the start of the season, after last season, I'd have said top four, maybe like a good cup run like we had with the Carabao, and I would have said that was success. Probably would have expected us to win the Europa. So are we ahead of what we were expecting? Probably.
But when you're saying ahead,
the title race,
I think it's different. You're basically saying we're ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
But it's a different manager. Something that's going to be... It's not like Klopp.
Yeah, well, that's
building.
What I'm saying. You'd think you'd had more time with him at the start of the season. So you'd have accepted top four.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But because it's his last season, you're saying to yourself like, we've got to go for that. So we are ahead of schedule in a way, but also if we don't do it, then, you know, Klopp's leaving.
We've got to win the Europa.
Can I just make an announcement? We've got quite a decent-sized platform here on behalf of the Dublin Tourism Authority. Please don't go to Dublin in the middle of May if Liverpool Liverpool gets that final. I urge you all to stay away.
The biggest party you'll ever have. Now we've got some questions for the fans, haven't we?
Yeah.
What are they?
They're
here. Showing green for agree or red for disagree? If Arsenal fail to win a trophy, will it still be a successful season for Arteta's side? You think it'd be success if you don't win a trophy?
Depends how we...
Oh, behave, Clive.
The glass is half full.
Yeah. Honestly. Right, question two. The recent Man City and Liverpool title races are better than Man United v Arsenal's.
Fucking not a chance. Honestly.
Much better teams. Why?
Oh,
why?
My God, honestly.
The points tallies, the
exactly.
Run, 18 games undefeated from January for both of them.
The two best teams in Europe.
The two best teams
Arsenal and Man United were never that.
You know that Liverpool team and that Man City.
Do you know how much you bore everyone else in the country? Do you have any idea?
Well, I'm enjoying it.
Honestly,
you know?
We were absolutely punch for punch.
And they were
beating
for punch.
Beating each other up. Off the pitch, on the pitch, the ferocity of the games, the unpredictability, of the games, the length of the actual thing was 7 years. Four titles to United, three to Arsenal. It was a proper rivalry.
Can I just ask? Would you not like? Why do people just ignore the United Chelsea rivalry? Because that was like seven titles, or whatever, between the two teams in 7 years. Went down to the wire, Champions League final.
So you think that one was better?
I'd put this Liverpool City one third. I'd put the United-Chelsea one second. And
the United-Chelsea one didn't have the same feeling, the same sort of spirit.
I put it above
it.
This I'm Liverpool talking about, City one.
For me, I actually think the quality of the I totally get off the pitch. But what are you putting your thing down for? You're getting 100 points. You're getting 70. If you want to leave, it's 75 points.
You're relying on the
Pizzagate.
Yeah, you're
Pizzagate.
Sometimes,
why are you arguing this is a rivalry when you've won for like five out of last?
Because it's come
you stopped them in the FA Cup.
It's been a decimation.
How many Champions League finals have they got to in the past 5 years? How many finals have we got to?
I think it's offensive.
And then the Premier League.
Oh, here we go.
City and Liverpool are together again.
No, the Premier League as well. How many
it doesn't matter, forget it. Question three. Right.
You don't even finish second sometimes.
Harry Kane. You don't even finish sixth this year, sure.
I'm not saying really.
Harry Kane should have stayed at Spurs. Right, yeah, OK, we agree on that. Jamie Carragher would get into the current Liverpool squad. I was going to say team.
You're getting squad. You're getting the squad.
Yeah. I mean, we'll dear me,
you are. Would they get in the team?
No, you're Joel Gomez, aren't you? Because you're left back. Seriously, centre back, left back, right back. You're Joel Gomez.
Yeah, I'd like to see Joel Gomez win the Champions League on his own. Yeah. Right. Gary Neville would get into the current Man United team. Who's a right back for United?
DeLow.
Exactly.
DeLow's good.
DeLow's been the player of the year. Right, question six. Is Foden the most naturally gifted English talent we've ever produced?
Ever?
Yeah, ever's a bit strong.
Who do we think it is then?
Gaza.
Rooney.
Yeah. Rooney.
Wow. Yeah, Rooney. Gaza.
Okay.
Foden's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
He's pretty good.
Would you scrap VAR completely?
I'm abstaining.
Split, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Split.
Right, question eight. When Pep leaves City, will he be seen as the greatest Premier League manager of all time?
All time.
Gary, yeah? Go on. Why has Ferguson got the edge in your opinion?
I just think, I mean, look, to be fair, Pep's unbelievable, so we're arguing here about sort of something that's hypothetical, but I just think what Sir Alex Ferguson did for British football and the Premier League, I think, I don't think can be surpassed.
What do you mean, what he did? He did it for Man United.
Yeah, I know, but he also did it for Aberdeen up in Scotland.
I just
think that for that period of time that, you know, the Premier League, it was in the birth years of the Premier League, I think that the football that was played, the electricity, the The character, the character and personality.
Would you like to debate that? Because Pep's won a treble as well. He's got a decent chance of winning four in a row. The points totals that you've got are 19 out of 100 points are much more than United.
Can I just say, in world football, when you talk globally, I think people will say Pep Guardiola. Well, and you think about what he achieved in Spain and Germany, but in the Premier League alone.
Well, I'm just going to say, I don't really think there's a right or wrong on this one. It's not, for example, you know, the discussion that we just had a second ago about the two title rivalries. I feel more strongly about that because of the quality of the football, as you pointed out. But I don't really think there's a right or wrong answer. You know, like, I understand Sir Alex Ferguson and everything that he did for English football. And if you ask Pep Guardiola, he'd probably say Alex Ferguson as well.
What about what Pep did to him in the Champions League finals?
Well, yeah, he embarrassed him, didn't he? But no,
you I think then, Jamie?
You know what? There's one thing Pep's never done, and he'll never do because the nature of the clubs. He's never won with an underdog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
whereas Ferguson, even like a Mourinho and Klopp, maybe at Dortmund, Pep's just always had the biggest teams, hasn't he?
But I think even we never talk pre-Premier League either, because if you started to bring in Samat Busby or Bill Shankly or Brian Clough or some of these great managers that Arsenal have had, you start to widen the impact on the
Howard
game.
Kendall.
The impact on the game that they've had. Yeah, you know what I mean? And Pep's had, I think Pep's had the biggest influence that I've ever seen on style of play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah. He has influenced League Two teams that I'm seeing splitting the centre-backs to 6-yard box and they're passing it along on bobbly pitches because of Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
And obviously he'll then say it was because of Johan Cruyff, or Ines Mikkels and all them coaches, but he has a massive influence on style of play.
Right. Question 9. Is winning the Champions League bigger than winning the Premier League? I am so shocked by that, honestly. Oh, I'm not shocked, but I'd argue this all day, that it was the Champions League. No. I don't know what people say, you never won the Premier League. But does the Champions... So City have won the Premier League, I don't know, 5 or 6 times now. Mm. That thing of winning the... It's like... It just elevates the club. It's like even when you just mentioned Matt Busby, the big thing for that team on the back of obviously the Munich disaster, they probably obviously won leagues, but it was like the European Cup. I think that's what elevates probably Liverpool's standing in the world is European Cup. Mm. I go back to the Italian teams. The biggest team in Italy is Juventus. But I think if you, well, I'm not sure, but I think if you ask most people who's your favourite Italian team or the Italian team you remember, I think most of us would say AC Milan. Because of the European Cup.
Everyone remembers.
A tournament, though, where you have like an easier run. You don't have to, you know, you can have some teams like Chelsea finished 6th and they won it or whatever it was. You've had teams that have just had a relatively easy run.
You're talking about Liverpool in the late 70s, early 80s, aren't you, Joe?
If you, or 2005.
Yeah.
There you go.
easy run. Oh, yeah. We'll get to this one. We played Juventus in the quarters, Italian champions. We played Chelsea, who were English champions in the semi-finals, who knocked out Bayern Munich in the quarters, who were German champions, and we beat the best team in the world in the final.
And I get that, and you did well. But you finished 5th in the Premier League. That's what I mean. Like the Premier League over 38 games, it's like you have to be the best
team. But is
like,
I totally get it. And I always
not
say,
belittling the Champions League. It's been amazing when I've seen
us win. I've said it a million. We were nowhere near the best team in Europe. And at times, at a lot of years, the best team in Europe doesn't win the Champions League. Real Madrid have actually won it when they finished 5th in their own league. Actually, in the past, my point being, even for Alex Ferguson, when he was starting the Holy Grail. Was the European Cup. That's what makes Villa different.
Yeah, and the thing is, when Forest were winning it, it's like you had to win the league to be in it. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, like, you can finish 6th and still be in it. So I think, you know, the league's so difficult to win. And I think, I'd say...
You wouldn't have finally swapped that Premier League win to win the Champions League that season.
Liverpool. What are you saying? I'd rather have won the league.
Yeah, that you
know. Chance.
Yeah. What, you really would have rather
the
had the
Champions
League?
The way we won that game in Istanbul, you think it'd change that for a Premier
that
League?
That season, finally winning the Premier League, though.
Mm. Well, finally winning the Champions League, we hadn't won that for 20 years.
I think it depends on the club. Like, it's, you know, when we got to the 2019 final to you, I agree with what you're saying in terms of it elevating.
European...
If Tottenham had won that game, that Champions League final against you guys, you know, we would have almost been forced into another level. Because of what it does for clubs, but then there's an argument about the league as well.
I just think there's 25 leagues across Europe every year, or maybe more, 30, 40. Someone wins the league every year. There's only one team who wins the European Cup. That's why I just think it's like a bit. Well, that's my point anyway. 10. Gary Neville is a better pundit than Jamie Carragher. Green for me or for him? I don't know what colours for me. Right, that's the end of the fan debate. Is it a fan debate?
It's a fan debate.
It is a fan debate. That's the end of it, from the questions from us to them and them to us.
Well done,
thank
everybody.
You.
Well done, Clara. Well done.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.